We've said many times that 2024 was challenging for South Africa's agriculture. There are two distinct factors that confronted the sector in a unique and a demanding way. One is the midsummer drought that negatively hit the summer grains and the oilseeds production to an extent that if you were to look at South Africa's 2023-24 summer crop production, you realize that it was down by roughly 21% from the previous season. The farmers had planted a slightly bigger area than the year before, and the crop at the start of the season was looking excellent until we were hit by that drought from February all the way into March. And that led to crop failures. And that was the big thing for the sector. The second aspect has been the ongoing animal diseases. The sector had suffered a lot in 2022-23, and in 2024, we were somewhat on the tail end of all of those difficulties. But the lingering challenges and the financial impact were still there in the sector. And in fact, somewhere mid-2024, we also got new outbreaks in parts of the Eastern Cape where we had not suffered from a foot and mouth disease. And that put a lot of strain, especially in the dairy industry. So those are the unique challenges amongst many things that are long-standing growth constraining factors that the sector continues to confront. And it is why, if you were to look at how the sector performed in general in 2024, you'll see that it has underperformed compared to the year before. It has contracted. It's primarily those challenges. But if you step away from those production constraints and you say, okay, but on a trade perspective, how has the sector done well? You will be surprised to see that, in fact, in 2024, South Africa's agricultural exports reached a fresh high of about $13.7 billion. That is up 3% from the previous year. The reason for that is because while we struggled in the grain and the oilseeds production and had some challenges in the livestock industry, some subsectors of agriculture did reasonably well. Take, for example, the horticulture industry, the fruit and the vegetables. The production conditions were better there. The stable electricity across the country at a time where the dam levels were also healthy led to a better production in the fruit industry. And that combined with generally strong demand in the world market and favorable fruit prices boosted our output in terms of volume as well as on the pricing side. And we did see really robust production in the side of the fruit. Vegetable production was also doing reasonably well. Yes, in 2024, we were still constrained in certain markets like Botswana and Namibia, which remain with some of the temporary bans in South African vegetable, especially in Namibia. Because Botswana has somewhat progressively opened up that market, we are now at a space where we are able to export some products. And in May this year, we will completely then have a full access to the Botswana market. But there remain some issues that were there in 2024. And towards the end of the year, we were succeeding in controlling the spread of the animal diseases to an extent that if you look at the red meat exports out of South Africa, they were starting also to recover. Now then, that recovery in red meat, as well as the better fruit output and the prices in general, is in part what supported our exports activity in 2024. But that was not all it. Yes, our harvest was down in grains and oilseeds. But in a year before, we had an excellent agricultural season, excellent grain harvest. So we had some of these stocks that were able to be overlaid to the next marketing year. And that boosted our exports, even though we had a poor domestic crop. Which is why when you're looking at the export figures, you will see then that we reached this $13.7 billion, up 3% from last year. It's really a product of both the better volumes as well as the higher prices that supported our activity. I must say, though, that the conversation and the collaboration that is happening between Transnet and organize agriculture and business community in general to ensure that we have a smooth or better efficiencies at the ports also paid off to a certain extent, because we wouldn't have been able to export all of these activity without some improvements that are in the logistics. Logistics are everything in our sector, because we export quite a big volumes of agricultural products each year. Now, if you had to ask then a question to say, on the basis of all of these things that I'm saying, what was in the basket of the exports, the top products? The top products that are there were citrus, grapes, maize, apples, pears, wine, nuts, fruit juices, sugar, berries, dates, pineapples, avocados, wool, apricots and peaches, ciders, and beef. Those were just some of the top products. But of course, the list is long. There are many products that we export to the world market from our agricultural sector. And of course, the inclusion of that maize there, while we had a bad maize harvest, is on the basis of those large carryover stocks from the previous year, while the fruit was generally just their good production and the recovery in the beef industry and wool, with us managing to control the animal diseases, especially in the third and the last quarter of the year. Now, that's the volume, that's the trade. Then the other important question is to say, where are these exports going to, and what are we exporting in each region? And you realize that the African continent, which has always been our largest dominant market, we exported about 44% of the products to the African continent. And of course, that's an improvement, because in the previous years, we had always had the African continent accounting for about 39%, 40%, now 44% of that. And in terms of the products that dominated the African continent's market, it's largely maize, maize meal, wheat, sugar, apples and pears, fruit juices, wine, soybean oil, sunflower oil cake, rice. Those are just some of the products. And of course, in terms of rice, these are some of the re-exports of South Africa. So I would say mainly grains and oil seeds to the African continent. The second biggest market for South Africa is Asia. About 21% of our exports is Asian market, Asia and the Middle East. And what is in Asia and the Middle East is primarily citrus, nuts, apples and pears, wool, berries, sugar, beef, mutton, wine, fruit juices, maize, apricots and peaches. So the grains, the fruits, and the meat is what you find in Asia and the Middle East. And of course, Asia also wine that go to that market. And in the EU, which is the third largest market for South Africa, accounting for about 19% of South Africa's exports, it's primarily fruit. When you look at our basket of products that we send to the EU, you will see citrus, grapes, wines, dates, avocados, pineapples, fruit juices, apples and pears, apricots, cherries, nuts, and of course wool is part of those products. And the EU remains very important to our wine and the fruit industry. The Americas is also an important market, although in terms of a share, relatively small compared to the others. It accounts for about 6% of our South Africa's agricultural exports. And you have the rest of the world taking up 10%. The United Kingdom is the biggest in that rest of the world, 10%, because you find that 7% of that is actually the UK. The products that we send to the UK are primarily our fruit and wine. You'll find that those are big in the UK. In the Americas markets, you will see primarily citrus, grapes, wine, fruit juices, and nuts. These are also the products that I would say in large part go to the U.S. Because if you can say, ask the question and say, in that 6%, how big is the U.S. on that? The U.S. is about 4% of that. And those very products that I mentioned, citrus, grapes, wine, fruit juices, and nuts, are the ones that dominate the U.S. market, which is why then in the whole conversation about the Africa growth, which is the AGOA, this Africa growth opportunity that we have, which is it offers us a tariff-free access in the U.S. market. It's not a trade agreement. It's the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. That's AGOA. It's more of a unilateral approach that the US does and offering us this duty-free access, didn't they? These products benefit on that. The US is about 4% of South African agricultural exports, but super important because it's concentrated on those industries, and those are the industries that also are labor-intensive, those citrus, those grapes, those wine, those fruit juices, and they are in the coastal areas of South Africa. So we do want to maintain access to that U.S. market for the very fact of that. If we were to be outside of ACOA, we would face duties of about 3% on average at most favored nations. And of course, that wouldn't necessarily mean South Africa doesn't have access to the American market, but it would mean that now we are accessing the American market in a place where we are not as competitive because of these duties. Now, that's the story of trade, but in terms of the exports. But trade is not a one-way. We also import. And if you look at our imports last year, 2024, in South Africa, we imported at a value of about $7.6 billion, up 8% on a year-on-year basis. And if you look at the basket of the imports, you have a lot of wheat, palm oil, rice, poultry, and whiskies that South Africa imports. We almost import close to about $500 million worth of whiskies in this country. The reason we're importing on other products, wheat and palm oil and rice, is just that we have limitation on the production of that. We can only produce half of the wheat we consume, but on rice and palm oil, we are a semi-arid country. We can't produce any of that. On wheat, we produce, on poultry, we produce a lot and import about 20% of our consumption. Now, thinking about the export value and the import value, it is clear then that we had a trade surplus of about $6.2 billion in 2024. That's South Africa's trade surplus in that year. Now, that's the activity of trade, but I think where we are sitting as a country, we are also thinking about opening up as many export markets as we can, because there's a lot of product that the farmers are bringing into the market for the coming years, but also the geopolitics of the moment are changing. And I think when we're thinking about where to open the markets, the first step to do is to retain the markets that we have and do whatever we can to maintain relationship and retain these markets. Then the next step is for the DTIC, DERCO, and the Department of Agriculture really to work on advancing our access in BRICS, lowering tariffs and the phytosanitary barriers. And I think China, India, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt are the most exciting markets within BRICS. Beyond BRICS, South Korea, Japan, Vietnam, Taiwan, Mexico, Philippines, and Bangladesh are just some of the exciting countries that South Africa should continuously engage and open as many markets there as possible, because ultimately we are a country that is an export oriented agricultural sector, and we have to make sure that we open up as many export markets as we can and we participate competitively in some of these markets. And folks, I thought it's important just to highlight those positive news of agricultural trade on this week. And let me thank the people that help with this podcast, which is Richard Humphreys, Sam Kokeli, Nelisiwe Chabalala, and Amanda Murimba. Follow me on socials. My name is Wandi Lesihlobo across all socials, as well as follow the podcast, Mkokeli Podcast, and our publisher, The Financial Mail. Thanks for listening.